make sure I have this set up so I can read everything. I was telling the group on Wednesday night that I went out to a local hardware store and they had all the Christmas ornaments and all that stuff out, you know. And I said, you know, I saw reindeer, I saw trees, I saw Santas and sleighs, I even saw Charlie Brown, you know, even saw Charlie Brown. And of course, none of that had anything to do with Jesus Christ. And we know that's what's happening in our culture. We know that, you know, people are running around, happy holidays, you know. And I'm going to write a blog this week probably saying, oh, Merry Christmas, you know. Because, for me, I want us to remember Jesus Christ. I want us to think about what God had planned for us. And while our culture is losing touch with Jesus and wanting to kind of push Jesus out of everything, I mean, they've put him out of the public square. I think if they'd like to put him out of the private square. But I want us to remember Jesus, who is the servant of God, the Savior of our lives. And God's plan from the beginning, before there was time, there was Jesus Christ. So I want us to, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 52. There's a section of chapter 52 that's kind of connected to 53. And it just because it's talking about the servant of the Lord. And it's one of Isaiah's messages about Jesus. And, you know, 700 years before Jesus was born, You have these words that God gave Isaiah. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. And then Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like the one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The idea of the title, the name, the servant, it is one of the greatest names for Jesus. The idea of a servant is someone who owes the Lord, or owes their boss, or owes their master absolute dedication. What the master asks, that's what you do. That's what a servant is. A servant is someone who bows, you know, to the higher authority and follows the regulations, follows the rules, follows the tasks that have been laid before him. That's what, you know, God called Israel at one point. He called Jacob or Israel a servant. But, you know, the problem was they weren't good servants, were they? They disobeyed God. All of Isaiah, you know, talks about they turned to other gods. They began to do everything that everybody else did. They didn't show the glory of God. They didn't show the honor of God. They didn't show the name of God to people. And so they were really kind of bad servants. Even one of the best servants of the Lord in the Old Testament, David. David was, you know, also in Isaiah called a servant of the Lord, right? But David, we know, messed up. He wasn't perfect. And then you have Jesus. You have the servant, the one, that's his title, that's his name. And he is the absolute perfect servant of the Lord. He is the one who feared the Lord and obeyed God absolutely. You know, that is the quality of the servant, is the servant hears the word and then carries it out. And that's what Jesus did. You know, one of the things that always strikes me about the coming of the Lord, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that he existed in heaven. He existed in absolute peace, surrounded by the glory of the angels, surrounded by the heavenly court. He didn't have to see sin face to face. He didn't have to allow sinners to touch him. He didn't have to smell the stink of it, you know? But when he was given the charge, when he was given the command, go, he went. he came and he was born, you know, in a manger. And for the first time, as he grew and lived among us, he had to put up with sinners. He had to see it face to face. He had to become the object of it. When people, you know, beat him, slapped him, and finally crucified him, right? Jesus did that to save us, right? He became a servant. He was an absolute servant. He was God's person. This text also shows us that Jesus was a person of humility. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, when his disciples were around him, at one point they said, Jesus, you know, you're hiding out in all these little know-nothing towns, these you know, no important people, and you know, you're just out there with the wrong crowd. You need to be made known. You need to go down to Jerusalem. You got to make a name for yourself. Jesus didn't come to make a name for himself. Right? If you look at this other text, he grew up like a tender shoot. It says, nothing in his appearance that we desire him, despised, rejected by men. I mean, Jesus was born in a manger, which means an animal's trough. He was born probably in a cave in Bethlehem where they kept the animals. He didn't come as a king dressed in white satin robes in infancy. He came as a little foundling child of a very poor family. He went to humble places, right? As he grew up and when he started his ministry, you know, he was a carpenter, right? And no big deal about being a carpenter. He went to fishing villages and hung out with fishermen and talked to them, right? He didn't go to the big places, the important places of the world. He didn't ride in a carriage. He walked everywhere he went. One of the signs of these, you know, more agrarian cultures of wealth was that you would actually, you know, be a person that rode a horse or you would ride in a chariot or in a cart, you know, or a carriage somehow. Jesus walked everywhere he went. He was among the poor. He antagonized the people that were well off. He antagonized Herod. Herod didn't like him. Pilate didn't like him. The Pharisees didn't like him. All those folks in those high places, right? He suffered with those in low places. Not many people recognized him when he came. Only a few shepherds out in the field. You know, these poor shepherds, they were the ones that heard about Jesus. There was, you know, Simon and Anna. They were the ones that recognized him, right? Not many people heard or saw him. So he asked the question, you know, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He didn't come as a king, as a majesty. He came as a servant. He came to do God's will. He didn't come to please men. He came to do the work of God. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us turned to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus came as the servant of God, and he came as the Savior of God's people. The servant came to lift up the burden that we couldn't carry. You know, those people of Israel that tried for over 1,000 years to please God and failed and failed and failed and failed because they could not deal with sin. They could not deal with all the pressures of the culture. They didn't have the strength within themselves to be able to stand and be with God. And Jesus, the servant of God, came to be the Savior, to be the one who would lift up those burdens, that would make it possible for us to actually know God, to have a relationship with God, to love God and be loved by God, to obey God and follow God. Jesus came to make that possible. What's amazing about this text is, again, 700 plus years before Jesus was born, this text was written. And if you think about it, it says God knew that he was going to have stripes. God knew that he was going to be wounded. God knew that the cross was coming. God knew the pains and the suffering that he would endure. He ordained it from the beginning of time. He ordained it that Jesus, the servant of God, would come and suffer and die for you and I so that we could have a relationship with our Lord. 700 years before, the wounds of Jesus were ordained by God already. They'd already been set in place. And when Jesus had the command to go, he came. He came so that we could have a Savior. It is from eternity to eternity that God sent forth his servant, that God sent forth his only son, that God sent us a Savior so that we could have a relationship with God, so we could know him and follow him and be his, so we could worship him and call on his name. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Think about how much this is so easily identified with the work of Jesus Christ. You know, the idea that he would be silent before Pilate, that he would have accusers rise up and that they would want to attack him, they would want to tear him down, and he would stand and take all of their accusations and take all of their punishments and not try to defend himself or fight back, but he would endure it because, again, he was going to save our lives because he cared about us. They knew about his grave before he was born. You know, I always think about that when you look at one of those little things with the manger, you know, the nativity sets. Just remember that before Jesus went into the manger, he knew the cross was in front of him. Before, you know, he took his first, you know, cuddle with his mom, he knew what was ahead of him. The wise men came and they told Mary that, you know, a sword was going to pierce her soul, because he knew what was going to happen with the Savior all the way, again, from eternity to eternity. He was absolutely innocent. Scripture proclaims it 700 years before he was born, that he would be innocent. Scripture said he was going to atone for our sins, that he was going to die, that his blood would cover our guilt, our shame, our wrongs. And we're going to come and share the communion table today. We think about that, the idea that our Savior, the thing that we should be celebrating at Christmas, the name we should be lifting up at Christmas. And while our culture wants us to take Christ off of our lips and Christ off of our hearts, we need to raise up the name of Jesus and realize Jesus came and he suffered for us and he paid the price for us so that we could have life with God, not just, you know, once in a while, but for all time and all eternity. God sent Jesus to save us, to make us his children. Ordained from before the beginning, ordained to be God's Savior for us, ordained to be the servant of the Lord. We call upon him. We call upon that name of Jesus. We worship that name of Jesus. We fall down before the servant of the Lord. And we ask, Lord, you know, could we also be like him? Could we also share in his same heart, his same attitude, that when the Lord said go, he came. And when he told him, ask him to give up heaven, he gave up heaven. And when he set in front of him all the sufferings that he would endure for our sake, he endured all those sufferings. This is the name we call upon. This is the name we worship. This is the name that we fall down before. That, you know, we do it now because we know it. One day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He deserves glory and honor and praise. And while our culture wants to erase Him off our lips and erase Him off our minds and erase Him out of our culture, He should never be erased out of our hearts. And we should always be glad to say, yes, we celebrate Christ. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate the servant. We celebrate our Savior. We celebrate that one who was ordained from before eternity to the end of eternity to be our Lord and Savior. It was foreordained. It was for us that God sent Jesus. We celebrate Him. We celebrate Him. Don't let the world shut your mouth. Don't let the world close your heart. Don't let the world tell you what Christmas is about. I was at a bank and I heard someone say that happy holiday thing. And I was looking out the window and daydreaming. I heard it and I said, I wish I would have responded right away. And Merry Christmas to you, sir! You know, because I just want, you know, yes, there are some of us who are unashamed of Christ, our Savior, the servant of the Lord. Just this last bit. He will see His offspring and prolong His days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand. After the suffering of His soul, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By His knowledge, My righteous servant will justify many, and He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give Him a portion among the great, and He will divide the spoils with the strong, because He poured out His life unto death and was numbered with transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. His justifying power, His ability to take away our sins, the ability to give us righteousness, to stand in the very presence of the Father and intercede on our behalf, that as we celebrate our Lord, the Lord stands before our Father and He says, you see, Father, they're not ashamed of Me. They're not ashamed of the Savior. They're not ashamed of Your servant. And they're not ashamed to share in some of the same hardships and the same obedience that our Lord shared in. And He confesses and pleads for us and takes up our case before the Father. Almighty God, I thank You so much for our Savior. I thank You so much for the servant that obeyed. And I pray, mighty God, that we would also learn the glory in obeying You. That you know, there are hard things that come. There are troubled days that come. But in the end, Father, we know that the glory that comes is so much more than the suffering we endure. But we see that in Your primary servant, in our Lord Jesus, who suffered so much but now has received the highest of glory, that He reigns over the universe. We thank You, Almighty God, for a Savior that doesn't just, you know, forgive sins in the way that people forgive, but a Savior that cancels the debt of sin and destroys it and says there's no more power of sin in your life and there's no more strength in it around you, but you now have the righteousness of God, the peace with the Father. We thank You, Almighty God, for such a Savior. And we thank You, Father, that this is not a 2,000-year-old story or a 3,000-year-old story or a 4,000-year-old story. This story goes back into eternity and stretches out to the other end of eternity, that we are part of something that You planned in Your heart before You created the heavens and the earth. Oh, thank You, Father, for including us. Thank You, Father, for bringing us in on Your plan, and so that we would recognize the servant, we would recognize Your Savior, we would see Your plan. Help us, Lord, today as we take the cup, as we take the bread, to remember that You've brought us in through the servant, through the Savior, through Your eternal plan to be Your people. Let's prepare our hearts to share in the Lord's table. see. We need Rick, you want to help Rick? Just help, yeah. Because Chris Smith went with the kids.
Shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Blessed are your poor, for the kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are you that weep and mourn. One day you will laugh, and if wicked men insult and hate you, all because of me. Blessed are you. Be not
on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks for it. And And Father, we thank you, Almighty God, for the life of our Savior, the servant of God, who suffered for us, took up our iniquities, suffered for our transgressions, knowing, Lord, that it is by his stripes we are healed. That body that was broken, that was the veil of the temple that opened the way for us to be with you. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will bear witness with us as we call upon that name of Jesus in our heart and say, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and your stripes, O Lord, have indeed made me whole. So after Jesus blessed the bread, he said, take and eat, this is my body. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup and he reminded them that the cup was the blood of a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And so we ask, Father, again, that you would heal us from our sins. Make us strong in the power of your might. Fill us, O Lord, in our inner being to be able to stand in the name of Jesus and to have that love, the grace, the peace, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to walk with you, Almighty God, and be yours, and to know that the price that Jesus paid had effect in our lives. Bless us, Almighty God. Take and drink. And Paul said, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord.
Father, we thank you again for your love, for your grace. We ask, Father, that the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, the love of Christ would fill our hearts, that we would enjoy you during this time, and that we would be ready to proclaim Merry Christmas, our Lord and Savior came. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's some clothes downstairs. If people need clothes, there's a whole bunch of clothes down. You can go through, pick through them, and enjoy yourself. Morning. Morning. Yeah, I guess it is. Just barely, though. We're early. Yeah, huh? Yeah, no, just, yep. Some days it goes quicker.